Welcome to the podcast, Happy and Single. I'm your host, Joseph Anderson. You can find me on Instagram at the It's Possible Guy. And today's episode 190, and it's entitled, Why Do We Worry So Much About Pleasing People Instead of Doing What's Right? It's amazing how often I hear of people that are... They will please people at any cost. I've learned from people over many years that they just don't want to ruffle feathers. They don't want to upset somebody. And because of that, they allow themselves to live lives that they don't want to live. They allow themselves to make choices that they don't want to make. You know, I shared with a client recently that they were far more loyal to people around them than people around them were loyal to them. It's amazing how often, like, we will try to please people, whether we're afraid of them being offended, whether we're afraid of them being upset, whatever it is. So why do we do this? I don't know. One of the things that comes to my mind is, you know, sometimes when we're younger and somebody bigger and taller and scarier than us yells at us, it's kind of frightening. And we don't want to experience that again. Maybe we don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable. And another thought is maybe we're afraid that if we don't go along with whatever anyone says, that they won't love us anymore. You know, what comes to my mind is that of being a little kid. And when you're a little kid, you just kind of do mostly whatever you want until other people start telling you you can't. You know, maybe it's your parents that get upset and yell at you for whatever. And usually those things had nothing to do with you. It had to do with them trying to help you and also trying to fight their own demons at the same time. You know, and then we get into school and we have to figure out how to play by the rules of everybody else at school in order to, you know, have friends. And so we do start to change. We do start to make those choices. And maybe we do start to learn, wait a second. If I do what everyone around me wants me to do, then people are going to like me and I'm not going to be alone. And especially as a little kid, I mean, the last thing you wanted to do is be alone. And maybe not little kid. Like, little kids don't care as much. But, you know, especially when you're in your elementary school ages and your junior high years, you will do whatever it takes to not be alone. You know, many people even, I mean, that's why they call peer pressure peer pressure. People will succumb to doing things they don't want to do just so they can fit in. So they can have other people to connect with, so they can have other people to be around. Now, what would be the opposite of that? Like, what if we never tried to fit in? What strikes my mind is there would be times that you would be alone. But funny enough, like, when you start throwing yourself into life, other people want to follow your rules. Let's say, for example, and I understand, guys, this is totally hypothetical, right? But let's say, for example, when you were 7 years old or 10 years old, you just fell in love with the guitar. You just absolutely fell in love with the guitar. And instead of spending so much time thinking about who likes you, who didn't like you, you spent all your time playing the guitar. And you were kind to people, you were nice, but you know, if they asked you to do something, you didn't want to do it, you just simply said no. And you just kept playing the guitar. And you know, you weren't like, but you didn't feel this was weird or anything. You just really enjoyed playing the guitar. You know, and after a while, you know, maybe you're really selective with the people you let in your life, but you know, you're playing the guitar a ton, and after a while you know, meet someone in your class and he's like, you know, you're just kind of having a casual conversation. It's like, oh, I play the bass, and you're like, no way. How long you played? And they're like, oh, dude, I've been playing for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and you're like, oh, so have I. Oh, wow, that's pretty impressive for a 14-year-old to play, have been playing 3 or 4 years. He's like, yeah, you too, man. Well, you want to get together and jam? It's like, yeah, I'd love that. And you get together and jam, and you're both really good. And so you both enjoy each other's company. You're both on another level, and you love playing music together. Well, you start hanging out more and more because you're doing what you both love. You're playing music. And then after a while, you start to become really good friends, like best friends. And then after some time, you know, you're randomly talking to this other person and he's like, oh, dude, I'm a drummer. Oh, no, wait, man. How long you played? Oh, you know, but 4 or 5 years. And he's like, oh, dang, we should get together and jam, all three of us. Okay. And you get together and you're like, whoa, you're good. Yeah. You know, it just kind of extends from there. Like, what if you could live your life doing what you love to do and not worrying about anything else? When there was something to do, even when you were a kid, it's like, okay, cool, I got schoolwork to do. All right, let's knock it out as quick as possible, get back to music. Oh, we've got this other stuff to do. Okay, let's knock it out. Like, we're so worried about being alone that we'll accept almost anybody that takes us. Sometimes it's like, oh, dude, I just don't want to be the last draft pick. Oh, my goodness, I just don't want to be the last draft pick. You know, in the NFL, they call the last draft pick Mr. Irrelevant. And I think Tom Brady was actually Mr. Irrelevant, and there might have been another pretty impressive player. Well, he just didn't care. He loved to play football. He's like, cool, I get a chance to play football. Like, what's really occurring to me in this moment, we have traded our entire lives to please people. We've traded everything to please people. And I want to say it has not been worth the cost. You know, we have this little, I've talked about the crazy leprechaun thinking so many times. And that crazy leprechaun thinking is just constantly trying to interrupt us. We could be having the time of our lives doing something we love. And it's like, oh, you know what? You didn't play video games today. And like, maybe in that moment, we're not even considering that. We're not even wanting to do that. But it's like, oh yeah, I didn't. I got to do that. Now, it doesn't make any sense thinking about it in this moment. Could you imagine if your entire life was by your design and you just went with the flow, not the flow of the people around you, but of this underlying current, this spirit that is just leading you and guiding you and taking you where it wants you to go, because that's where you're going to be the happiest. What if we didn't feel so much pressure to make friends with everybody? There are people that I'm good friends with. And there are many people that I do have acquaintance with. And that's okay to me. Whether it's okay with them, I don't know. Like, you know, we even stay in conversations that we don't want to be in because we're afraid of hurting the other people's feelings. And I don't think there's a one-size solution for that. That's not something I've figured out yet. But I haven't explored it yet. I mean, like in this conversation, it just blows my mind that we have We've literally traded our lives so that we wouldn't be alone. Instead of realizing if we would have just stuck to our guns, if we would have just done what we loved, we would have eventually found our tribe. You know, I use this example plenty of times of the prophet Joseph Smith. You know, many people of my faith will know who that is, and some of you that aren't of my faith might not. But, you know, when he first had his experience from God, that God was, you know, sending him on his individual mission, like, that was not well received. It was not well received at all. And people didn't like him, and people hated him, and people were horrible to him, especially for being a 14-year-old kid. But you know what? Kept going his way. I mean, what's he going to do? Like, tell God no? Now, there might be some people that do that. And maybe even some of us in lesser senses, we do that. No, he just kept going forward. And eventually he got to the point that once he found his tribe, once people found him that adopted the message that he'd been given from God, everybody wanted to be his friend. There's just something that happens when we stop pleasing people and we get authentic. It's like, you know, plenty of people out there. Like, are you being authentic to you? Or are you allowing yourself to be controlled by people around you? Because I will tell you this, and I have seen this on many, many different occasions. All throughout life, I've definitely seen people do this. And especially if you need to, you can think of the movies that have done this. The people that are people pleasers oftentimes wind up around those people that have very strong personalities. And they just get bludgeoned. They just get overburdened. And sometimes, and I've been in those situations too, where you don't know what to do. And it's like, well, this person won't like me. Whether it's your friends, your family, whatever, won't like me if I don't make this choice. Would you care more about whether that person likes you or whether Heavenly Father, well, he's always going to love you, but whether you're doing what he asks, whether you're following the guidance and direction that he has for you. That's what we got to do, guys. That is the path of joy. That is the path of happiness. You know, Sidney Banks, the Scottish mystic, talked all the time about this beautiful feeling. It's joy. And all we have to do is just sink into that joy. You can be in an experience where somebody else is very upset and mad, and you can still be in joy. You don't have to give in to any of that stuff. I mean, it's like, once again, if I was a child and, you know, adult bigger than me got mad at me, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. I mean, I'll be real with you guys. Like, it's hilarious. I've come a long way, you know, doing this work that I've been doing, you know, and doing the personal work, guys. Like, I have spent tens and tens of thousands of dollars getting where I'm at. But I'll share with you an example when I should have spoken up and I should have, like, let this guy have it. And I didn't. There was a time, and I was playing tennis at the time. I was in a tennis class, and afterwards, I just find whoever wanted to play. And there was this kid, and at this time, this would have been like 10 years ago, guys. So I would have been probably between, actually longer, like 27, 28, right around there. And so I asked this kid to play tennis with me. And he was really good. I mean, at the time he was probably 10 or 12, and, you know, he just happened to be there as well. And I asked him to play, and he said yes. And it was interesting because either at the first or the second time that I asked this kid to play, his dad came up and, you know, kindly, but not kindly, sternly got in my face and said, "Hey, he's got to practice. Don't ask him to play." And I was like, I'm so sorry, sir. Now, if he met this Joseph today, do you know what this Joseph would tell him? "Hey, I don't know who you think you are, but don't talk to me like that. Don't ever talk to me like that." I would tell him, "If you want to teach your son to man up and tell somebody no and to keep practicing, then you do that. But don't ever get in my face again." And I'm being dead serious, guys. Do you know how long I've thought about that? I don't people please anymore. I was not going to share this story, but I think I'm going to. And we'll see how it lands. We went to the Grand Canyon this last week. I was having such a great time. And I was taking pictures. I was having somebody take pictures of me. And, you know, I can't have spent more than like 1 or 2 minutes having somebody take some pictures. And this guy starts to say, like, "Well, we'll get our pictures taken if this guy ever finishes." And it was with a very snarky tone. And I was like, "Oh my goodness, what's happening? Is this really happening?" Like, I was having this beautiful moment being at this place. And for reasons I'm not going to explain here, the Grand Canyon actually has special relevance to me. But I hadn't been back to this part of the Grand Canyon in 40 years. So I hadn't been back. I was there when I was a baby. But like, I hadn't been back since. So I was having this beautiful, wonderful moment, right? And this guy has the nerve to be like, "This guy ever finishes." Now, part of me would have been like, "Oh crap, what did I do? Oh man, maybe I am taking too much space. Maybe I am taking too much time." But you know what I did? I don't remember exactly what I said. And to be honest, I was so mad that this guy was disturbing my peace. There I was having this beautiful moment again. I hadn't been back in 40 years. And this guy said something, and keep in mind, guys, we're on a ledge, right? There's a ledge. It's about, it's like a little peninsula that's maybe 12 feet long. There is a rail around. There is some chain link fence. But there's a lot that could go wrong here. And on every side, it's a very long drop off. And so I'm just sitting there. You know, I take a few more pictures. And then I tell the guy something. I really don't remember what it was. But I said, "Hey, man, that's not cool. Like, that's not cool at all. Don't do that." You know? And I said something like that. And he's blah, blah, blah. Like, he didn't care what I had to say. But then I told him, I was like, "Dude, like, I hope you have a better life." And I did mean that. But I was also mad. Like, this guy just, I mean, he had the nerve to do that. Like, and the guy didn't care. Ironically, then, he got into later on, he happened to be in the exact space that I wanted to take a picture. Just randomly. And I just ignored him. I took pictures elsewhere. I waited till he left. And then I moved into that position because I wasn't doing that again. Well, the thing that frustrates us sometimes is like, well, they shouldn't have done that. Well, tell them. Like, I'm so glad that I told him. Like, I do not back down from most people anymore. I say most people because if you're twice my size, okay, you can kind of say what you want to say because I'm going to pick my battles. I'm not going after Goliath. I'm not dying on that hill that doesn't make sense to die on. But if you're average size or if you're my size, you better believe I'm going to tell you how I feel. No, I'm not going to be a jerk necessarily. I don't think you have to be a jerk. But I think there is something healthy about just sharing with people, hey, that's not cool. Now, most people, if you say, hey, that's not cool, they're like, hey, you know what, man, I'm so sorry. I apologize. Not this guy. This guy was, I don't know. I mean, I had plenty of thoughts came afterwards. Isn't that how it always works? The thoughts always come afterwards of what you want to say. I don't think we have to take it. I don't think we have to put up with it. I mean, if somebody does something that's going to affect me, I'm going to at least let them know how I feel. Now, do I go off all the time? No. There's certain things that just aren't worth it. But like, if somebody gets in my face in front of a large group of people, generally, I'm not backing down. I'm not going to be that person anymore. Like, nobody's going to walk on me. Even the Savior himself took a whip into the temple. Like, you know, and whether it's right or whether it's not, I don't know. But what I do know is I'm always going to stand up for myself. I mean, even if somebody happens to be big, I might still say, hey, that's not cool. I'm just not going to take it super far, especially when you're on a ledge of a cliff and it's like 3,000 or something feet down. But like on a more casual level, like there's moments, guys, when you want to hang, like if you've got a good group of friends and you don't know what you want to do, there's going to be moments when you're like, okay, cool. I want to spend time with this group of friends. Don't really care to do that activity, but I'll go anyways. And there's times that I've done that and I've actually enjoyed myself. And there's other times when it's like, hey, do you want to come do this? And it's like, I don't. You know, I love, there's a book I've been listening to and it's on Audible, but it's actually more lectures, but it's by Napoleon Hill. It's called Your Right to Be Rich. And one of the things that he talks about on there, and the only reason I started listening to this is because I happen to have it downloaded on my phone. And when we were leaving the Grand Canyon, it's like 50 miles of just no cell service. And so I happen to be listening to this. And so I've been listening to it since we got home from the Grand Canyon. And as I've been listening, it's been amazing. There was a part where he's like, he's got three walls, you know, metaphorical walls. The first wall, only his students can get over. The second wall, only people that have something that he really, really wants can get over. And the final wall, the third wall, the closest one to him, not even his wife can get over it. That's only between him and Heavenly Father. Now, I will share with you, if you do happen to be a member of my faith, one of the biggest differences that's been made in my life is by scheduling weekly to go to the temple. Absolutely life-changing. And it just truly, truly life-changing. But I love that. I mean, it's like we feel like we have to be there for everybody. We don't. I mean, celebrities, there's no way they can be there for everybody. Now, I write this beautiful section in my book, and it basically has, you know, this celebrity character, and they're just out there, they're sharing with people, they're genuine, they're kind, they're giving of their time. But the person they're on a date with is getting annoyed because they want their time too. And so finally the celebrity figure tells the people, hey, I'm done, and goes back to his date. And after not very long, another girl comes up screaming, you know, his name, and like, oh my goodness, that's my sweet 16. Can I please, please get a picture? And he says, no, I'm on a date. And she begs and pleads, and he still says, no, no, no. And then the girl's mom walks, like, is with her and says, man, I can't believe that jerk. I can't believe he can't even take a single minute to give my daughter. Why is that in there? It's in there for lots of reasons. But if you were a celebrity, you would have to make decisions. You couldn't answer every text. You couldn't. I mean, I've got, you know, individuals that I know that if I call them, if I text them, sometimes they answer and many times they do not. Now, if I saw them in person, I'd walk up, give them a huge hug, we're friends. But they're kind of on that, like, celebrity climb that they just don't have that time. They just don't have it. You know, there's a quote from a book called The Artist's Way, and it says, "Treating myself as a precious object will make me something." You can look it up if you want to finish the quote. Fine, I succumbed. I looked it up for you. It's treating yourself like a precious object will make you strong. If you're a precious object, you're not going to give your time away to everybody. You're not going to offer your time away to everybody. Like, you know, for example, again, with the celebrity factor, like if they don't treat their time as a precious object, they're not going to have any. They're not going to have any for themselves. And we worry so much about how people are perceiving us, what they're worrying about, what they're thinking about. Treating yourself like a precious object will make you strong. If you don't want to do something, don't do it. If something's bothering you, talk to somebody about it. It's like, there was a time that I would pretty much extend my time to almost anybody. Like, just almost begging for them to sit down and coach with me. I don't so much do that anymore. I mean, my sessions are very tight. It's 45 minutes. Why? Because if I'm meeting with various clients throughout the day, I need time to rest my brain. Like, could you imagine if you treated yourself like a precious object and just said, "Hey, I can't do that"? Now, what you're going to find is some people, they will get very belligerent. They will get very bold. They will get very strong and almost mean. But that doesn't mean you have to do it anyways. I mean, plenty of those people, like, you know, it's, I like the comedian that says, what would you do if a giant 300-pound linebacker came at you on the road? It's like, I would, you know, it's like a personal trainer asking him this to try to motivate him to get in shape. And the comedian's like, "I would just get out of the way. Because I don't get in the way of speeding bullets anymore. If you come at me strong, especially if, like, you're irrelevant to me, I'm just going to be like, dude, like, just go away." I mean, I really did that one time. This guy got in my face at the gym. I've shared this story before, but it's coming up again. And it was a people-pleasing story. I had my headphones on, and this guy, like, I could kind of tell he was saying something, but my headphones are noise-canceling. I'm not going to hear, right? And so I've got weights literally in my hand, and this guy's running his mouth. Now, again, like, I mean this. If somebody gets in my face, I'm not going to start screaming at them or fighting them, but I am going to stand up for myself. And so in this case, it was one of those experiences where, you know, I set my weights down, I took out my headphones, and I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "What do you want?" He's like, "Dude, get out of my girlfriend's space." And I'm like, he just kept going and going and going. I'm like, "Dude, she's a big girl. If she wants, she can talk to me." You know, and it was interesting because the more he spoke up, like, the more I just stood there. It's like, we're in the middle of a gym. It's not like we're going to fight. You know, like, I'm not going to fight somebody. I'm not going to fight somebody, period, to be honest. Like, but we're just standing there in the middle of the gym, and finally, I'm like, dude, go away. And he finally left. You know, and then the girl, like, finally, you know, she pulls off her headphones and says, oh, I'm so sorry about my, boyfriend. And I'm like, you know, and I can't remember who. I probably said something. It wasn't like terribly rude, but it wasn't terribly nice. I was like, oh, I called him over. I'm like, yeah, so that overprotective guy, that's your boyfriend or something, huh? She's like, yeah. And, you know, and it was interesting because I just told him to go away, but the incident was so bizarre. It was just weird. But like a few days later, we happened to run into each other at the gym, and I was like, hey, man, like, we're good. I don't know what that was. And he's like, hey, man, I'm sorry, too. You know, my girlfriend just kind of, she doesn't speak up. And so it was one of those instances again where, like, I'm just, you know, there's this thing in the wild that when you back down from a fight, it literally, like, you drop all this adrenaline, you just, because you've basically given up. But the winner of the fight usually has more adrenaline, you know, instead of dropping it, because there might be another attack coming. You know, and so I don't want to back down from anything. Now, granted, again, like, I didn't stand there screaming at this guy. This was literally just, why are we having this conversation? Go away. You know, and it wasn't. And so I know plenty of people that have gotten that if you're single, especially later in your life, that we've kind of cowered back from whatever anyone tells us. Kind of just been like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Don't do that. Now, don't turn everything into a battle, guys. There's a total difference. This wasn't some guy that just, like, you know, barely said some simple line to me and be like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, I can't think of anything right now. It, like, you don't have to make everything a battle. You can just, like, you can stand up for yourself without backing down, is what I'm saying. You can stand up for yourself and say, hey, this is where I'm at. This is where you're at. Okay, cool. But, like, you know, I didn't lose my mind, even with the guy at the Grand Canyon, even though I was so just flabbergasted because it's like, what kind of a nut does that? Like, who does that? Like, at a place that most people only see once in their life. Like, who does that to people? It's okay, guys. But it really is. It is totally 100% okay for you to be true to yourself, to stand up for yourself, and not to have to fight about everything. I mean, plenty of times I'll share my piece. You know, and I think some of these areas, I think one of the biggest areas sometimes that many people find themselves being a people pleaser is with family. It's like, no, I don't want to ruffle feathers. Well, they're ruffling yours. What's the difference? No, I'm not saying that I stand on that one, because that, I think, with family is the area it gets really dicey. But God never told you that you weren't allowed to stand up for yourself. God never told you that you had to be. I mean, goodness gracious, you are a child of God. I mean, I sure wouldn't stand for any of my nieces and nephews getting talked down to. I mean, I might let them fight their own battles and talk to them afterwards, but like, hey, what was that? And teach them how to get stronger. But I'm definitely not going to let them be, you know, verbally or physically abused. I'm not going to fight, you know, their battles. but I'm going to teach them. And I think if Heavenly Father could teach you anything, it is how amazing you are, how incredible you are, and how much He loves and cares about you. He really does. There's going to be times in your life when you do make some version of compromises. But if you're always compromising, that's not a compromise. Like, if you're always the one giving in, that's not a compromise. That's a doormat. And I don't want any of you guys to be doormats. That's not attractive. I mean, nobody's attracted when they can walk all over somebody. Like, I love when somebody stands up for themselves. Why? Because for so many years, I didn't. For lots of reasons. But now that I'm learning that, and now I definitely stand up for myself, like, it feels good. It feels wonderful. It feels amazing. So I would invite you to stop being a people pleaser. You can take other people's opinions into account. You can discuss and have an open discussion. It's like, hey, well, I'd really like to do X, Y, and Z. And they're like, well, I'd really like to do X, Y, and Z. You know, for example, if you happen to be on a road trip or going to a place, or you can either split off with people and go do your own thing by yourself, or you can be like, okay, well, I'd like to do this, but because plenty of times it is funner to do stuff in groups. It's probably why we succumb so much, because it's like, man, spending too much time with myself alone is interesting. But I would just start noticing, am I being a people pleaser, or is this what feels right? And I would actually say more times than not, if you're not loving what you're doing, you're being a people pleaser. So guys, I've loved this episode. I think the thing, you know, for those of you that haven't listened to this much before, these are stream of conscious podcasts. So it's really whatever the Spirit tells me to say. And so I'm exploring right there with you, and that idea that we have traded our entire lives to please people, and we've lost ourselves in the process, reminds me of a song by Switchfoot. We were meant to live for so much more, but we lost ourselves. It's time to find yourself. It's time to get back to being you. And you can be true to yourself and still have wonderful relationships. But you've got to be true to yourself. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. If you liked what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so you can easily find your way back. And go ahead and share about it with all your friends and other people you come in contact with that are just kind of feeling a bit down, and, you know, or just wanting more happiness in their life. Also, I know plenty of you out there listening are like, oh my goodness, I would love to experience coaching, but Joseph, I just can't afford it. Well, if that happens to be you, at 11 a.m. on the second Monday of each month, I generally host an Ask Me Anything call. You can come on and receive one-on-one coaching. It's a group format, so there might be other people in the room as well, but it's first come, first serve, and I will literally coach you on whatever it is that you're struggling with, that you want to see, that, you know, that you want to see happen in your life, but you're just not seeing it happen. You know, and also, if you happen to be one of those that prefers a more one-on-one coaching experience, that's what I've done now for 20 years. So if you want a one-on-one coaching experience, then go to josephanderson.co, and in the very first box on the left-hand side, there'll be a form that says apply to work with me. So click there. It'll take you to a form. Fill out the form, and then we can get in touch. And once again, guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and you guys have an awesome day.